And a quick check now on some of the other stories we're following around the country. The Los Angeles Times reports today that the first 6 months of 2014 were the hottest on record in California, nearly 5 degrees warmer than the average for the last century and a degree hotter than the record that was set back in 1934. That is January through June, by the way. It does not include this month, which has already been very hot in California, and a heat wave is expected later this week. Of course, none of this good news for the state's historic drought, especially as we approach fire season. Meanwhile, in Chicago, officials are announcing today that they will install 8 new noise monitors in the areas around O'Hare International Airport. There are already 33 noise monitors, which capture noise from aircraft arrivals and departures, and city officials use that data to determine whether residents qualify for free soundproofing on their homes. A study out today from Spears Magazine and the consulting firm Wealth Insight finds that 1 in 25 New Yorkers is a millionaire. That puts the Big Apple in fourth place of 20 global cities based on the portion of their populations whose net worth tops $1 million, and that does not include the value of their primary residence. The top 3 spots, by the way, go to Monaco, Zurich, and Geneva. Houston and San Francisco, the only other U.S. cities besides New York to make the list. Houston is number 18. San Francisco is number 19. And in Miami, the Miami Herald is reporting that a Swedish biologist has spotted a red-necked stint in the Florida Keys, the first time ever this species has been seen in the Sunshine State. The red-necked stint is a tiny little bird in the sandpiper family. It breeds in northern Asia and western Alaska. It's known to winter in India and Taiwan. It's been spotted in the U.S., in New England, and New Jersey. And now it may be summering in Florida. So we'll keep an eye on that. Some of the other stories we're following for you today.
And now to Hong Kong. Earlier this month, hundreds of thousands of people marched through Hong Kong demanding full democracy. This was one of the largest protests in the former British colony since it was handed back over to China in 1997. The protesters want Beijing to honor its commitment to Hong Kong's political and judicial independence, and they're worried China has no intention of doing that. But there are also protesters on the other side. The BBC's Juliana Liu reports.
Chanting, "Hong Kong is our home," hundreds of protesters have gathered outside the Legislative Council or Parliament to support the Chinese government's version of political reform for the former British colony. Leading the demonstration of workers from a union loyal to the central government in Beijing is middle-aged taxi driver Lo Xiqing. He has taken sides in a fierce debate over the future of democracy in the city.
I have come out to protest because I want to make sure that political reforms are made under the official legal process. I want to express my ideas here peacefully. I reject those people who use violence to put forth their ideas.
These are the pro-democracy activists Mr. Lo opposes, but they're hardly violent. Lan Kwa Kung, a veteran lawmaker, is heckling Carrie Lam, Hong Kong's second most powerful government official, in a cavernous chamber located deep inside Parliament. He is dragged out by security, all the while shouting he wants the public to nominate the city's next leader. Ms. Lam calmly continues addressing the other lawmakers on electoral reform. She's used to this kind of noisy opposition, which mirrors the widening divide between pro-democracy rebels and those loyal to the Chinese government. At issue is how the city's mayor, called the chief executive, will be chosen. China has already said it will allow one person, one vote in 3 years, but it wants to approve the list of candidates on the ballot. Activists want the public to choose whoever they like. Driving the political tussle and potential crisis is rising social discontent. I've taken the train to an area just one stop away from mainland China to find out why locals are increasingly upset. The landmark North shopping center in the Shangshui neighborhood is packed with shoppers from China, pulling suitcases filled with baby products, packaged foods, and personal care items like shampoo. Many of them won't be taking it all home. Instead, after they return to the mainland, they'll sell everything for profit.
Well, the products that everyone around me is snapping up are cheaper and of better quality than in China. Items like tins of baby milk powder are in particular demand because of recent scandals there. It's difficult to say exactly how many traders do this regularly, but they probably account for the bulk of the 24 million people last year who visited for just one day, raising prices and transforming this once sleepy district into a giant shopping mall.
The anger has fueled a peaceful rebellion against growing Chinese influence. Leading the fight is a group of teenage students who, along with their university counterparts, organized a sit-in right here in the main business district 2 weeks ago. More than 500 people were arrested. Agnes Chow speaks for the group, called Scholarism.
We are planning to have a bigger civil disobedience action in August, and we want to fight for the civil nomination rights.
But why civil disobedience? You're essentially talking about an illegal demonstration, and you're inviting arrest.
By civil disobedience action, we want to show that our whole political system and even our law is unjust, that it can protect the basic rights of Hong Kong people.
Just a short walk away in Parliament, the pro-China demonstrators are continuing their protest. It's shaping up to be an unprecedented summer of simmering unease in Hong Kong.
That's the BBC's Juliana Liu reporting from Hong Kong.